Hello, hello, hello. This is Part-Time at Lambda School, and I'm your host, Ira, and this is a show about what life is like, part-time, at Lambda School. Fortunately, I can no longer speak to what life is like. The reason is because I have a job now, and I've been working there for a couple months. So I'm going to tell you how I got the job. I'm hoping that it will be useful information for you. I've tried to hone this into the things that come up repeatedly when I have meetings with students about how they can be most prepared. Ultimately, what this comes down to is being strategic. And that's not very helpful by itself, so I'm going to break it down into some sections. And so first we're going to talk about choosing the kind of journey you want to have. Then we'll talk about what not to do. Then we will talk about what to do. I will include a link to a Notion document with these notes in the show notes so that you can reference it. You don't have to remember everything. You can kind of just relax and listen rather than trying to take notes at the same time. The first thing I would like to share is how important it is to choose the kind of journey that you'd like to have. Part of the reason I'm going to discuss this is because of what I've learned through 13 years of suffering. And part of it is also in the spirit of knowing that the most valuable advice is the advice of the person who has just done what you are about to do, not the person who's done what you are about to do like a long time ago. Maybe asking your parents or your professors about getting a job or something like that might not be the most helpful information right now, but maybe I could be kind of helpful. That's my hope. Now, please note that I'm only speaking from my experience. I'm not an expert at all. I'm just a person who graduated high school in 2008 into a world that was on fire, became homeless, and then wasn't ever able to really get out of that homelessness long term until finishing Lambda School. But then I got out and then I looked at the job hunt and it was almost the same situation. And I was really afraid. And I knew that I couldn't do what I did last time. Otherwise I'd get the same result. And I also knew that I couldn't do what other people were doing. And what do I mean by other people? I mean, I saw a lot of people posting on social media, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, in private social media channels like Slack and things like that. So I saw a lot of conversations go on about how difficult it was for everyone. And I thought, well, gosh, I'm just a mediocre. I'm not special in any way. How am I going to make it through this? I don't know how I'm going to do this. And so I was very afraid. You are not the only human being in the world who's looked forward at what comes next in life and has thought, oh my God, how am I going to do this? Or who's thought, wow, I don't know if I'm going to make it through. Whether it's in the sense of literally potentially dying or in the sense of that the challenge is so overwhelming that it might not be possible to overcome. Because you are not and I am not, that means that there are lots of accounts historically of what it takes for person after person to face it. I personally find things like that inspiring. Right before I started to job hunt, I had coincidentally started coming across mythologies of rites of passage where people overcome challenges. both in contemporary history, but also in ancient history. There are lots of stories like that. I highly, highly recommend that you maybe take a moment to inundate yourself in those stories as a way of emotionally and psychologically preparing yourself for intentionally approaching this experience with courage, because you will need it, because it is hard. It's not over until it's over. And there's going to be a part of you that knows that, even on the days that are hopeful. So you want to know that you are embarking on a journey. You want to give yourself a kind of psychological respect around that you are taking this on and that you are the hero of this experience for you. That's not to say you're going to be alone, but it is to say you might feel alone at least once. I personally get that feedback a lot, is that it's very lonely, especially in the beginning. So I'm going to try to help you move through that. But what does this have to do with choosing your journey? What I mean to say is that we all are facing this daunting challenge right now if we are finishing a boot camp and trying to find a job. But we're not all going to process what that means in the same way. And we're not all going to process how to approach it in the same way. I am encouraging you to kind of try to approach it as a kind of mission with purpose, with a sense of pride. Don't approach it from a place of, this is happening to me. Before we get into the what not to do and what to do, I want to kind of close the choose your journey part with a very common example of human behavior. A lot of the time on like prank shows, you'll see examples of a group of people who are all in on some peculiar behavior that seems inexplicable. And then one person who's not in on it will be immersed in the group of people who are in on it. The prank is all about seeing whether or not that person eventually caves in, even if the repeated behavior is never explained to them. The example that I can think of off the top of my head that really stuck with me is this one show. It was like a medical waiting room. There's an attendant at the counter. There are some people sitting in the waiting room. Everyone at this point in time is in on it. A new person enters the scene. This person's not in on it. This person checks in at the counter and is asked politely to be seated, and the person sits down. Then suddenly there's this beep. Everyone stands up, sits down. The person looks around and to themselves with this expression on their face, what's going on here? You can see the confusion. No one says anything, and you know, otherwise the waiting room's pretty normal, so the person just kind of sits and waits, still waiting for the doctor. Then again, you hear the beep, everyone stands up, sits down. The person who's not in on it looks around, thinking, what's going on here? Then again, beep, everyone stands up, sits down. The person looks around, what's going on here? Beep, everyone stands up, sits down. The person looks around, what's going on here? And just like you might expect me to say it again, because I've said it repeatedly, this person kind of expects it to continue to go on. And they're right. It does continue to go on. The beep, the people stand up, sit down. The confusion's perpetual. Until at one point, the beep happens, everyone stands up, everyone sits down. And despite the confusion, the person who's not in on it is now participating. Everyone standing up and sitting down was actually everyone submitting as many applications as they could? What if the beep was the expectation of receiving rejection? We engage in these behaviors in part because we expect that is what we are supposed to do. We might look around at our community and see people getting jobs occasionally, and then they announce, after 5 million kajillion applications in 30,000 years, I have finally gotten my job. And we think that their journey was like that because it must be, not because there were other options and the person didn't make the choices to get those other options instead. There are going to be a lot of people who tell you what you should do. Hopefully, none of that advice is concrete, and hopefully all of it is rooted in the reality that life is changing and that communities and societies with technology and with the pressure to improve and advance technology quickly, we are changing faster than we did before, which means that the practices that you must engage in order to achieve a certain thing will likely change too, including the job hunt. If you do not choose your approach, the unconscious automatic behavior is that you will fall in line with the expected approach. That means that you will stand up and sit when you hear the beep, even if it makes no sense to you. Unless you say to yourself, I will not be the person who does that. So I'm going to ask you to say to yourself, if you're alone, you can actually say it out loud. If you're not alone and you have no shame, you can say it out loud nonetheless. I would be too shy. But if you're alone, you can actually say it out loud. I will not be the person who submits applications all day, every day. Because that is a waste of your time. It is significantly more important and more useful to observe reality as it currently is and inform your strategy based on the evidence. So that brings me to what not to do. This one's tough because I don't want to sound like a judgmental person. These are things I told myself I was not going to do when I looked out at the landscape of what I saw people kind of talking about with regard to the job hunt. I took time to observe what the main conversations were, what were the talking points, what were the hardships, what were the successes, what was going on, at least in the public eye, that I could make sense of, because I didn't really have mentors outside of the school itself to ask for help. There wasn't really anybody in my life that could give me that advice. So I had to find the advice from paying attention to my life. And I'm going to encourage you to do the same, because I actually think that what you create as a result of your own observations is going to be significantly more applicable and useful and fruitful for you than what anybody else is going to tell you to do. Bear in mind, these are the things that were based on my observations, and I'm going to try to share why I told myself not to do those things. And you can kind of ask yourself the same questions or observe the same situations, and you can come to your own conclusions. So something I told myself that I was not going to do is I told myself I was not going to complain about anybody publicly. That sounds like I'm interested in complaining about them privately, but I kind of just made it a point to not be that person, even in private. Do not be the person who complains. Now, that doesn't mean don't have feelings and don't have thoughts about it, and don't give yourself space to have feelings and thoughts about it. What it means is that keep your attention on curiosity rather than resentment. It means thinking about asking questions and how you can solve and fix things, rather than simply saying, I don't like the way this is. You have a say in how your job hunt goes. It is your life. It is the consequence of your choices. You can do this. I made it a point not to complain about other people. The reason I made this point was not because of the sort of social pressure that we have right now to be very optimistic, even to the point of being fake, but rather because the complaining that I saw was predominantly about recruiters and hiring managers and employers, all people who arguably by hiring me would be helping me. And I just didn't see it as kind or within my moral scope to kind of insult and cast judgment upon people while simultaneously asking them to bring me into their sort of family. Now, I understand that for many people, a job is not a family. I totally get that. There's a part of me that understands that. And then there's a part of me who grew up being raised by self-employed refugees who worked together. The children of my parents' employees gave us hand-me-down clothing and vice versa, depending on the age and size. And they babysat us. And we babysat them. There was very little distinction between family and business. And in some places and families and cultures, the business is referred to as the second home. So for me, I just didn't really see it as helpful to engage in kind of hostile behavior while asking that I be brought into what is, in my opinion, a vulnerable space. One of the things you hear most often about when people are trying to start a business is how they're afraid, the risks that they're engaging in. When they're hiring new people, they're asking questions like, how do I know I'm hiring the right person? How do I know this? How do I know that? How do I avoid mistakes? There's all these fears and insecurities, and part of them are related to the hiring process. And I don't think that those fears and insecurities go away after the team has 10 people or maybe even 20 people. The concern when someone makes something is that they don't want it to be destroyed. And so when it comes to a business, they're usually concerned that it's going to become destroyed from the inside out through culture, through toxic relationships, through people when they come together are like baking soda and vinegar, but when apart are totally fine. They're worried about making decisions that result in conflict and chaos within the organization. And the consequences of the conflict and chaos that would occur, the loss of people's salaries, the public failure, the sense of shame, the having to feel like you own the things that fell apart. Now imagine having all of those feelings in the middle of a pandemic while simultaneously trying to make sure that your business doesn't fall apart. So coming from a place of empathy is going to be really important. This what not to do not complain about other people in public is not really about don't say this. It's about actively choosing to appreciate their struggle. Because if you can appreciate their struggle, they're more likely to be able to appreciate yours. You've modeled for them the behavior of how to appreciate someone else's struggle. And with your example, they have a better ability to do the same themselves. Just like the beep and the stand up and the sit down, your beeping and standing up and sitting down can be empathy. It can be thoughtfulness, conscientiousness, awareness, appreciation. Be the change that you want to see. That's what that means. So I'm going to encourage this what not to do is do not be the person you wouldn't tell your children to be. Be a good example through this process. Come out on the other side proud of how you engaged. Now, there are other ways that you can say that, you know, don't complain, et cetera, et cetera. That's not to say that you cannot have negative feelings. A lot of negative feelings are going to come up through this experience. I am not here to judge you for having them. I had them too. It's knowing that those negative feelings are going to come up and knowing that how you feel has a huge impact on your capacity to do what needs to be done for yourself in this moment. Knowing that, you need to preemptively safeguard yourself so that you will be strong enough when you need to be for yourself. Because this is not going to be easy. Just to be clear. Okay? So what to do? That's it. That was honestly my only what not to do. That was the only thing that I could think of not to do. Is don't spend your precious time and energy focusing on venting to the world what you think other people should be doing. Focus on you and what you need to do and do it. Okay, so what to do? The first thing that you should do is use the skills that were given to you at the school and Uber your job hunt, right? If you're not a Lambda School student, you might be like, he wants us to do what to the job hunt? Uber, it is a problem-solving framework that is taught at the school. It means understand, plan, execute, and reflect, and we're gonna break it down. Cool. Understand. Craft your understanding of the problem. We do this by observing the problem. We do this by asking questions about the problem. We do this by not assuming that the problem is what has been told to us. The problem that's been given to us is you need to find a job and it's a pandemic, right? What I personally try to do when solving problems is I try to repeat them over and over, the path to a potential solution, and then I try to observe what happens along each of the steps of the way. That's really hard to do with a job hunt. I can do that with a linked list easily because I can make one myself. I can't make a job hunt myself over and over again. So what's the next best thing? You find people and ask them. Find people you know who got a job and ask them. What did you do? Again, you will see that some of those people are going to be the people who suffered really hard through the whole thing, where it was kind of a brute force go at it, where everything was about submitting as many applications as possible and trying to get as many certifications as possible and not really talking to people. I'm going to advise you to think about how if you do things that way, you might have the same experience. And I'm going to ask you to consider finding other people to ask to see what their experience was like and see if it was different. I'm sharing this because my experience was actually very pleasant. And I hope that you can have a pleasant job hunt too. I'm going to tell you that I did not do that. I didn't take that approach. That approach is not wrong. It clearly worked for some people. But I don't think the people who take that approach look back on the experience and think, wow, you know, that didn't suck. Whereas I kind of look back on my job hunt experience and I don't feel like it sucked. It wasn't that bad and I feel better off for it. So find people and ask them. For me, I was lucky enough to meet someone who got two dev jobs. So he was working two jobs as a developer and I was seeing all these other people get laid off and not be able to find any jobs. And so I was like, okay, why do you get two? Huh? Everybody else got nothing and you got two, my friend. So I asked him, what, how? And he told me that he focused on researching the companies and researching the people involved in the interviews, researching the people that he talked to. He put more investment in the relationship than in his idea of a job hunt, you know, of a bureaucracy battle of who can shoot back paperwork the fastest. So remember that at the end of the day, someone who's hiring you is a person who's inviting you to be part of their team. You're asking them to involve you in their daily lives. So at the end of the day, what you're asking for is their trust and vice versa. This problem is not a paperwork problem. It's not a job application problem, it is a relationship problem to me, right? Before you can make a plan, the first thing that you need to understand is the problem. If we don't understand the problem, we can't make a plan for it. Now, sometimes we think we understand the problem, we make a plan, we execute, and then we learn through reflection that didn't work and we got to try again. And that's definitely going to happen. It's totally going to happen. It's important that you just accept that. Now, another thing before we move on to the plan is accepting some of the nature of the problem, right? Because this is a certain kind of problem, there are certain things that we can simply anticipate as normal. For example, in reality or whatever, the sun rises, the sun sets, we can expect nighttime to happen by virtue of this cycle. By virtue of the cycle of looking for the right team on a planet with millions and millions of people, the vast majority of people you meet and the vast majority of connections you make are probably not going to be the immediately right one to get you the job. By definition, when you are looking for something, the majority of the things that you look at are not going to be the thing having been found, right? Expect to have to look at something and say, nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not it. It is part of the territory. It is not a reflection on your ability. It is not a reflection on the likelihood of your success in the end. Expect it. It is part of it. Now, I'm not saying ignore it. I'm saying take the evidence as evidence of where to look or maybe tweak your strategy accordingly, but don't let your brain tell yourself it's a reflection of your skill, because it's just part of what it means to literally do any search at all. The majority of the things that you look at will not be what you are seeking. And that's just what it is. Cool. So now that we understand that the job hunt is actually a relationship problem about finding the right team and establishing trust mutually, and we understand that the majority of the people out there are not the right people for us and vice versa, and that is okay, we can make a plan for how to proceed. One other thing I want to stress, if 80% of jobs come from people that you know through connections, don't spend 80% of your time applying for jobs through job application portals. That makes no sense. Spend the vast majority of your time really building those relationships and investing in other people, or watering your friendship garden, if you will. It is about connecting. A job at the end of the day is about doing something for someone else. We have to think about the someone else more than the something. The something matters once we get the job, but the someone else just wants to know that we're trustworthy and that we will deliver. We have to show that through our behavior and through our connection. Cool. So let's make a plan. For me, it's important to keep my head in the game. Anything that can help me do that is part of this plan. The first thing that I would do is I would send a Zoom link to a couple people every single day that I was job hunting. So basically 5 days a week, I would tell them, you know, hey, if you want to job hunt together, I'm going to be in here. No pressure. That doesn't mean they showed up every day, but it meant that there was this part of me that thought that they might expect me to send the link every day because I said I was going to. That made it so that I felt the need to show up every day, because I wasn't just showing up for me anymore. I was showing up for us. And that helped me feel motivated to at least show up. That's usually the hardest part, is to just get started. Because the thing is, you don't just get started once, you get started every day, over and over and over again, like Sisyphus in his rock. The first thing I'm going to say is make it social. It might not be a Zoom link to two or three people every day. It might be something else for you. But the point is, you need to get other people in on it so that other people can see you. At Lambda School, you go from this like structured environment to the open ocean. There's nothing. Part of you might miss it and feel lonely. So it's important that you kind of make it for yourself again, you don't have to put a huge amount of effort into the social aspect. Like, it's not necessarily about that. It's mostly about having accountability, having other people near you who can relate to your experience in the present moment. It makes it so that you don't feel as alone. So then from there, I'm going to tell you my kind of cycle that I would move through. Now, this cycle that I would move through is not something I would do every day. I think I only moved through it like a couple times in total. So it's just something that you work through every single day, but you don't go from start to finish in the whole day. I worked on job hunting 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, and it still only took me about 45 days. And I feel like that's really fast compared to most people. I hope that this is helpful for you too. Don't expect to get it all done in one day. That's okay. Have some compassion and some patience for yourself and some recognition that you're doing something difficult and it's just going to take some time. Allow yourself to take the time. The first thing I would do is I would find 5 jobs I was interested in. Now, to be clear, coming up with my plan took 3 weeks of my job hunt. I spent 3 weeks on coming up with my plan. And I base it on my observations of the job hunting landscape and of me and my own behaviors, my own needs. I encourage you to take some time to observe the problem for yourself. Don't just do my plan. If your version of that is taking a version of my plan, testing it out, seeing how it works for you, and then making some adjustments from there, that's fine. But don't just like blindly copy this. Because remember, if you go through this mindlessly, you're going to end up being the person who stands and sits at the beep, and you don't want to be that person in the pandemic, because that means that you're going to use tried and true, if you will, job hunt strategies from before the pandemic that are no longer applicable, and you're going to be wasting your time. Please consider just observing what works now and adjust your needs as you go. Again, I took about 3 weeks to just observe things and come up with a plan and do little small experiments and see what worked for me. You find 5 jobs, you put them on your list of places that you're gonna apply to, wherever you keep track of that. If you're a Lambda School student, I hope you're using the job board because it comes with like a lot of extra benefits that other people don't have, and not using it is kind of putting yourself at a disadvantage when you don't need to. You have your 5 jobs, then from there, you apply to those jobs. In between each application, so you've submitted one and you're about to submit another, don't just go and immediately submit another application. Follow through. The first thing you should do is go find somebody there that you can connect with, that you can talk to. 80% of jobs come from people you know. 80% of your effort should go into meeting people, getting to know them, investing in them, and seeing if they are someone you connect with and someone you don't mind working with every day. There are different levels of connections that are valuable, right? Knowing someone at a place is not the same thing as knowing the hiring manager or knowing someone who's well connected with the hiring manager. Those aren't the same thing. What you want to do is first seek out the most valuable network connection you can. Obviously, if you know someone at a place, you should probably reach out to them. As a Lambda School student, you should probably be reaching out to the alumni you know. If you notice that the place is hiring, don't just randomly DM alumni and be like, hey, can you get me a job at your place? Actually take the time to check if the place has a job listing, okay? Put effort into it. You're going to need to. There's no way around that. What is the highest value connection outside of actually knowing someone there? Because that seems kind of obvious. Like, Ira, of course, if I had connections, I would use them. I didn't have any connections either. If you don't have any connections, the closest thing that you can do is find someone who's like you. Find someone who is working in the department you want to work in and has a similar educational background to you, i.e. none, in my case, right? So you wanna find someone who went to a boot camp, someone who did something non-traditional, someone who's unusual, just like you are. And then you wanna connect with them on the fact that you have that in common and ask them how they got into their field. Now, you can do this at places that you're interested in and places that you're not necessarily interested in. You're more interested in them. Both are okay. I've had people reach out to me asking me about my experiences, even though they're not interested in applying where I work. That's fine. you can get a lot of information that is useful from other people's experiences. Now, remember, you always want to take it with a grain of salt, not because other people are liars, but because a perspective is only a piece of an experience of an actual thing that happens. It's a limited point of view because we're human. It's part of it. There's no avoiding that. So recognize that there are factors that the person probably overlooked or didn't take into account or were completely unaware of. What if you don't find the person who is like you? Well, luckily for you, the job board at Lambda School has some connections already listed. From there, you just go try to find a recruiter or try to reach out to the hiring manager. You could also just reach out to any of the developers who work there to ask for an informational interview about how they like working there. You have more ability to be picky than you think you do, showing that you are approaching this with a sense of discernment. Shows that you are mature, not that you are unfriendly. It shows that you are wise enough to be aware that some people just don't work together well. And rather than prefer to blindly move into that and wait for the explosion to happen, you're sparing everybody. Don't worry about coming off like you're too choosy or whatever, provided you're friendly about it. Everyone is kind of coming at this with that sense of discernment, at least on the employer side. So it's not gonna be offensive if you're asking for an interview to see whether or not the other person sincerely likes their experience. Once you apply to the job and once you've found someone there and you've reached out to them, they might not immediately respond. Don't expect them to. You might need to follow up, that's fine. You've reached out to one or two people. Okay, notice how there's a limitation here. You're not making a list of 5 million jobs. You're not reaching out to 20 people. You need to put boundaries on it for it to work. Otherwise, you could spend an entire day on one step. You could spend hours on trying to find the right person. So you need to confine the amount of time allotted for it. So if you need to give yourself a timer of, 15, 30 minutes to find the person, that's fine. Now, how do you find the person? You use LinkedIn. LinkedIn is not a place where you find jobs. It's a place where you find people. So you go to the job or you go to the company's profile and then you can go through their people page. There's a page on LinkedIn dedicated to all of the employees and you can filter based on their degrees and based on their department. So you filter by both of those things and then you see who's left. And you try to reach out to them. Now, again, the highest value network contact is the least likely. That's why it's the highest value. So don't get discouraged by the fact that you don't always find that person. It's part of the territory. Just like most grains of sand you pick up are not coincidentally gold. It's a lot like that. It is okay. It is part of it. It's not a reflection of you, your ability, or your chances at success. You can do this. After you've reached out to someone, what do? Well, then you go back to applying to the next place. Now, if the place requires a cover letter, I highly recommend trying to make a really small project instead. Now, I did not necessarily get a chance to test this out, but I was in the process of trying it myself when I got hired. Test it for yourself. If you don't like it, then don't do it. But please consider the idea of possibly making a small project instead of doing a cover letter. You can deploy it and you can put the URL to your project in the PDF and you can say, hey, instead of a cover letter, I thought I'd show my passion and enthusiasm for the possibility of being part of this team and for the work that this team does through this project. Just like a tiny note that says, please look at this instead of this cover letter. Because the point of a cover letter is to communicate your personality and the level of interest that you have in not just being paid by the company to do something, but participating in what the company does, what the company's work actually is, the community that the company engages in, the customers that the company has, etc., etc., the people who work there. But you can communicate that, I think, much more effectively with a small project that is inspired by things that the company does or needs, rather than just writing a letter that says, you know, you're like this and I'm kind of like this, and I think that us both being like this means that we'd be good for each other. Because that's what most cover letters are. You don't need to do that. You can show them, right? In an age where everything feels uncertain, just saying, oh yeah, I'm good for you, doesn't feel trustworthy like it once did, but you know, when everything seemed normal. Now, there is a greater need, I believe, to demonstrate. You'll have to go through this cycle of, you know, applying to a place and then network, apply to a place and then network, and you'll do that 5 times. When you're done with that, then you need to follow up with places you've reached out to. So you'll want to keep track of that. Now, that's pretty easy on LinkedIn, because LinkedIn actually has a page of all of the requests that you've sent out to other people who haven't added you back. And then if they have added you back, it'll be in your DMs. Don't waste a lot of time trying to find like the right people tracking software or something like that. I don't think that that's going to be very helpful. I think that's a waste of time. It is much easier and frankly more fruitful to use the tools that are immediately available to you that you're already comfortable and familiar with, even if it means slightly adapting them to meet your needs. Making up your own process with what you have, where you are, is going to be more effective for you than taking somebody else's process, because somebody else made their process with what they had, where they were. Keep in mind that we're all different. We all have different resources and different impulses and different responses and perceptions of things. You'll want to adapt this. I know I keep saying that, but the difference between someone who has an easy job hunt and someone who doesn't is observing, experimenting, and adapting, and being willing to engage in that over and over and over again. You cannot spend all of your time just doing a job application. Okay, you follow up with those folks, both the people who've reached out to you in return and also the people who have not. And then from there, I would check in with a career coach at least once a week. This is a good opportunity for you to have them maybe proofread your social media posts. If you're nervous about posting on social media, you can ask them what they think of something. You can check in with your strategy and get someone to be a sounding board for you. You don't need to go through this alone. I don't recommend using Slack channels as a means of just venting and kind of asking for advice, but also just being upset. Now, don't get me wrong, I understand a lot of the feelings of frustration and fear and hopelessness that come up. I get it. It was so important for me to protect myself from being consumed by those feelings, because I know that for me, I cannot function when I feel like that. For me and for myself, I made a commitment to myself that I was going to work super hard to intentionally craft my own perspective every time something felt kind of dark and dreary about the experience, that I would make lemonade from lemons, that instead of telling other people how sour lemons are and hoping that they also sense the sourness of lemons and that we can feel that together, that instead of doing that, that I would invest my energy in testing what goes well with lemons. Is it sugar? Is it salt? Is it water? Is it honey? Is it, you know, or whatever, any other example. What goes well with this? What can I use? Most of the things you try are not gonna work. That's fine. I tried a lot of different things. I'm just telling you what worked for me. You get the career coach to be a sounding board. When is the right time to do that? Like I said, I would do it at least once a week, but I would also definitely do it before you have any interviews. They might come up with questions that you didn't think of. You really want to have good questions in your interviews, because the people who are interested in something ask different questions than people who are not interested in something. So the type of questions you ask at the job interview can demonstrate your level of interest in the company, in the other people, in what they do, in their mission, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Asking very generic questions that tend to be asked at any job interview would, to me, communicate a lack of familiarity with what we do. Because people who are involved in something, who've paid attention to something, again, don't ask the same questions as people who don't pay attention to something, who aren't involved in something. So that's the plan that I had. Now, how do you execute this plan? Well, the first thing is you have to actually follow through. That's the important part. That's why I use the Zoom thing. For me, the fear of letting other people down motivates me to do stuff. You can use your fear, you can use your natural inclinations or disinclinations to appropriately manipulate your behavior in the right direction to be the person you need to be for yourself in this moment. You need to show up for yourself every day. Now, when I say every day, I mean every day that you've dedicated to this. That might mean 5 days a week, like it was for me. It's important that you take time to rest. It's important that you sleep. It's important that you take care of your body. If you don't take care of the tools that you use to get things done, it's going to be very difficult to do those things. There's a reason why people refer to sharpening the axe. In this case, the tool that you need to take care of is your body and your mind. It is you who is going through this experience. It is you who needs to sustain throughout this period. It is you who needs to live up to your potential in this moment. And so you can, and it's much easier if you take care of yourself and your needs in the process. That doesn't mean having to buy a lot of stuff and whatnot. It means paying attention. It means sleeping when you're tired. It means giving yourself enough rest. It means eating when you're hungry. And it means not being forceful with yourself. It means being patient with yourself and leading with love, not with abusive force. When executing the plan, okay, remember, you will not be the person who submits applications all day, every day. Remember that, because when you're surrounded by people who spend all of their time doing that, complaining about that, talking about that, expressing that, we consume through all of our senses. So we consume through our ears too. We hear that, we read that, we see that. To a worm in horseradish, the world is horseradish, meaning what you are surrounded in is, our brain tends to think that that's all there is. So especially when we're inundated in it for a long time. And 45 days for a human being's attention span is a long time. So remember that you must be intentional. You must show up every day on purpose. You must pay attention to the results of your work. Are you making social media posts and nobody's responding? Change your strategy. Do you make a certain type of post and people do respond? Do you notice that when you use color in the form of emojis or pictures that more people respond or engage? Do you notice that when you use a certain type of language or subject matter or hashtag that recruiters DM you? Do you notice? Because if you don't notice, you're not going to make any progress. You need to pay attention. That is the most important part of executing. Actually, I take that back. It is two equally important parts for the tie. Discipline and paying attention. You must show up. You must notice. Okay. The rest is kind of just going through the motions and doing your best. The rest is kind of up to chance. But what's not up to chance is your attention. You must pay attention. Now, I recognize how difficult it is to focus for long periods of time. I am fully aware. Trust me. I mean, the amount of times I've had to re-record this because I've gone on tangents. And the amount of people who've observed my tangents in real time, trust me, it's hard. I'm aware. You adjust your strategy to meet yourself where you are, accepting your flaws as they are. You can't focus for long periods of time. Don't work for long periods of time. Right? Allow yourself a break and then actually take the break. Follow your own rules. Okay? Now, the second thing about the execution, other than protecting your perspective and making sure that you're not the person who stands and sits at the beep without understanding why, the second thing you need to remember is to have empathy. In a world where everyone feels afraid and a lot of leaders in the world are frankly mean to each other and to everybody, I don't know, there's a lot of mean people out there right now. And choosing not to be that person, choosing to move with kindness, choosing to move with empathy, choosing to move with understanding, it makes it so that you stand out for good reasons. And it's a lot easier to pay attention to you. Now, I'm not saying to be the very, very stereotypical LinkedIn poster who has this copywriting sort of template where it's all caps and then you see like a couple list of three things and it says you can do anything and hiring managers, I'm going to tell you what to do, blah, blah, blah. No. You don't have to do that. Just say the things that are true for you, that are of your experience, that you think are helpful for other people, that you wished you had when you were on the step just before where you are now. You can also say things that are encouraging to other people in your current situation. Remember that you're not going through this alone, that everybody is going through this with you, and that we're all experiencing it on different, you know, on different levels to different degrees. But the more that we work together, the more we all alleviate everyone's suffering. So if you approach your job hunt as in we're all working together to find jobs, not just I'm working to get someone to hire me, then it's a lot easier. And frankly, other people will want to hire you. If you want to make your job hunt easier, then make it easier for other people to hire you. That means when you send your resume to someone, that you put your name in the file name and you put the date on the file name. Because if it just says the word resume, you and a bunch of other people have done that. If the recruiter, all they did was right click download or whatever, they just hit the download button. All those file names are now on their desktop. It's a whole mess, right? Remember that the other person, it has a whole workflow that they have to go through with full of annoyances too. By making their life easier, it's easier to hire you, and therefore you will be more likely to be hired. You're not the only person with human flaws, with human annoyances, with human mundanities. The other person, the hiring manager, the recruiter, they all have those things too. People appreciate when we make our lives easier for one another. Take the time to think about those things. The easier you are to interview, the easier you will be to hire. You want to do all of this with honesty, because at the end of the day, the main evaluation is trust. If this is all coming from a place of dishonesty, you cannot sustain it. I could preach about how it's immoral or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's unsustainable. And so you'll just lose your job anyway. So you have to be honest about the type of person you are. Now that you've executed the plan, you may have a job immediately and you might not, probably not, right? It took me like, I think two times moving through this cycle before I got my job. There's a chance that you might notice, again, the importance of paying attention, the importance of noticing. You might notice that some of the evidence from what you've observed in life is that it's suggesting that what you did isn't really working for you. I would not necessarily pack the bag and start all over again. I would make adjustments. Remember to ask crucial questions. Questions are significantly more important than answers, because questions are the tool that give answers their container. What do I mean by that? I mean, a question is a bowl and an answer is the water that you pour into it. without the proper question, the answer cannot be found. So it's really important that we ask the right questions. Now, the right questions are not things like, oh, why is this happening to me? Now, I'm not saying you're not allowed to ask that question. Sometimes I ask that question too, but remember that that's not the question that's going to actually give you the answer. Asking specific questions is more likely to give you useful information than general questions. So pay attention to what happens along the way and make adjustments. Now, if this does give you a job, use the reflection step to share what you've learned with other people, because the person who's just immediately gone through something is more valuable in terms of their advice and their experience than the person who went through something 20 years ago. Your perspective can be very helpful for people to use your wisdom and adapt to their current situation. So I encourage you to do that. It also helps you continue to build your network, because getting your first job, that's not it. You have a career from here now. And you want to make sure that you can keep and sustain your livelihood and not squander what you've achieved. You can do that in part by sharing what you've learned and building community around, having empathy for the fact that this was difficult and people are just now beginning what you've finally are relieved to be done with. And so with that, you know, look back, remember to lift other people up, remember to share, remember to commiserate and to encourage so that we can continue to sustain not just us, but the people who come after us. Cool. So that's how I got my job. And if you're wondering, I literally got my job by making LinkedIn posts, and someone reached out to me saying that they appreciated my perspective and how I see things a little bit differently. And the reason they said that is because I had received a rejection letter and I posted about how proud and excited I was that I had gotten it, because rejection letters only appear on the journey where I'm at, and I worked so hard to even get to this path. So I didn't see a rejection letter as evidence that I'm bad at this, or that I don't deserve this, or that I don't have a shot. Remember, rejection letters can only appear on the job hunt. So the very fact that you've even gotten one is evidence that you're here, that you've made it this far. And if you've made it this far, you definitely can keep going, and you will. You absolutely can.